I'm excited to introduce our guests today, two ladies who represent one of my very favorite author-narrator teams, Janine Frost and Tavia Gilbert. Welcome to Audio Gals, Janine and Tavia.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Tavia, you have been such a good friend of Audio Gals. In fact, you were our very first interview. We launched our site on August 27th, 2 years ago, and ran an interview with you the very next day. And then you were the first one to record an interview with us back in March 2013. I don't think I'll ever forget finishing up that talk only to hear that it had failed to record. Your response, an immediate and cheery, "Let's start again."
I've been in that same position myself, so I have nothing but sympathy and good cheer about it.
Janine, although I had read so many positive comments about your writing, most from very ardent fans, I might add, it was my curiosity to hear Tavia's performance that influenced me to enter your Night Huntress world. When did you first hear about this narrator by the name of Tavia, and how long before you listened to snippets of a Night Huntress entry?
Well, I first heard of Tavia when Blackstone Audio, who is the publisher of my first several Cat and Bones books, and as well as of the Broken Destiny series, hired her. I came late to the audiobook game. I was mostly still reading. It's only been the past year that I've started reading ebooks and not paperbacks, so that ought to tell you what a Luddite I am. And I heard of Tavia, and I looked her up, and I saw that people were saying good things about her. So that was a big relief because, you know, audiobooks were a completely new experience for me back in 2010, I believe. I think it came out.
Yeah, 2010.
Yes. And so the first time I listened to it, when Halfway to the Grave came out, I turned it on and listened to about 30 seconds before it was so surreal hearing someone enact my book. I had to shut it off and just sit there and just kind of absorb. and before I could turn it back on again and listen, because it's such an amazing thing to, you know, have, again, your words brought to life. I mean, readers bring them to life when they read them from the page. Tavia brings it to life in a completely different manner with her performance of the books. And it's not just, you know, I guess I had thought audiobooks was just someone reading in rather a monotone, you know, kind of like how teachers, you know, teach lessons at school. And I didn't realize that it was like listening to a movie with your eyes closed. So I was just so stunned and surprised by it. So it was a real eye-opener for me.
Well, we audio enthusiasts, we like to call ourselves that, we really do believe an excellent narrator takes an author's words to even a higher level. It really is an entirely different experience. So we know what you mean by that entirely. Okay, it looks as though the first book in the Night Huntress series, Halfway to the Grave, was released in print format in 2007. And as you mentioned, Janine, Blackstone released the audio version of Halfway to the Grave a few years later in 2010, as well as three other entries to the series. Tavia, was this your first paranormal, and were you contracted to narrate all four titles at the same time?
It was my first paranormal. So how lucky was I that that was my first experience? I had no idea how lucky I was, actually. And I was not contracted to narrate the four that were in existence at that point. But, when you start as a narrator in a series, generally chances are that you will be the narrator for that series, unless another publisher acquires the rights and doesn't bring the narrator from the previous publisher over, or something happens with a scheduling problem. So it was assumed that I would do the rest of the series, and I have continued with Janine as much as she publishes. I've been very, very honored and pleased and happy to narrate. So I was really lucky. It was a big break. Looking back on it now, knowing what I know now about the industry, that was like a huge gift, and I really had no idea.
Well, and we've been thrilled to have you narrating those. When did you all first talk together?
Janine, I don't know if you remember, but I really don't even remember. I know it wasn't the first book. I think it was not until, you know, kind of a ways into the series that we finally connected.
Yeah, I think it was only about 3 years ago, because maybe 2 or 3 years ago, or gosh, you know, it feels like longer, but I know it hasn't been, because I remember that I guess audiobook narrators were gently encouraged, I guess, not to
right.
interact as much with the authors. And I didn't know the protocol, so I didn't want to be, you know, like stalkerish, I guess is the term. So, so I believe you sent me an email and said, you know, hey, is it all right if I, you know, talk to you a little about the book and ask some questions? And I just, oh, I was so happy because you're like, yeah, oh, and you're probably, yeah, she's so sweet. You thought that she was sweet redoing an entire interview with you. You should have heard her redoing the same scene with me for The Beautiful Ashes 5 times until I was like, yes, you've nailed Adrienne's accent. If I were her, I would have shot me through the computer.
No, not at all. It's so great. Yeah, we have only, I mean, we met in person last summer. Or last, you know, early fall for the first time. But we've been now in touch for at least a handful of years. And again, I don't remember when we finally made contact for the first time, but I feel very fond of Janine and I have very warm feelings toward her and feel like she's my friend and we're partners in this and we're in this together. I feel like she's got my back and I've got her back. And it's a really, really good relationship. And I feel a great responsibility to be the best partner to her, to bring her work into the audio world as I can with, you know, all of the nuances that she wants. So we did work on a scene for The Beautiful Ashes again and again, and I was happy to do it and would have done it 10 more times if it would have been getting me closer to the performance that she was hearing in her head. It's a pleasure.
She's so brave.
Well, but listeners love to hear this sort of thing. I mean, we love to hear that authors and narrators talk. And I know at one time that just didn't hardly ever happen. But I am hearing it's happening more often these days. So,
yeah, the industry is changing and the relationships are being fostered between the author, the narrator, and the publisher, because there is more power in leveraging that relationship than in keeping everybody very separate. There's no longer, if there ever was, there's no longer any reason to have separation.
Well, we are glad to hear it.
I was going to say, I agree with Tavia that it is a lot like a partnership because, you know, I'm producing the words on the page, but she is producing an entire performance based off of them. And, you know, little nuances that might not come through on the writing as well as I'd like them to, you know, if she asks me about them and I say, okay, no, in this, he's, you know, he's got kind of a broken snarkiness to him. You know, can you pull that off? And it amazes me that she can. She'll do a reading next and there it is. And without that interaction, I think the story would lose a little of those nuances. And so I'm so excited that she's willing to do it. And, you know, she's modest, so she's also not saying. She is a tireless promoter, not just of my books, of course, but other authors. I see her all the time online talking about titles that she's worked on and trying to get the word out. And, you know, that is so great because we are in this together in a lot of ways. And it's so great that she, you know, doesn't just record something and forget about it, but she really puts her effort into it above and beyond the recording. And yeah, I think that's nice. Made a difference, a lot of difference with the listeners and with the, you know, the support of the novels.
Well, I hope so. It's been really fun. You know, I think it means something to me to have more involvement in a title than just sit down, record it, and move on. This is a lot of my life, and if I really feel something for the work or for the person who's doing the work, it really is an honor and a pleasure. It makes my job more pleasurable to have a greater involvement and a deeper relationship with the writer and with the fans. The fans have really driven attention to the series. You know, I'm sure Janine gets acres and football fields worth of fan mail, and I get emails all the time from people who these books have meant something to them, And I want to really honor their time. They're spending hours with us. So I want to do something to be gracious and thank them sincerely for their investment in our collaboration.
You know, those authors who are just getting ready to record, they're just, maybe they're going through ACX or they've got one of the audio publishers getting ready to sign them up. I don't think they realize, for the most part, the importance a narrator can have, because a narrator can draw listeners to an author's book. It's very common that among our favorite narrators, we often are introduced to authors that we had never read in print. So I, once again, we just love hearing about this relationship because we think it's the way it should be.
Well, I know as a listener, as a passionate listener, that there are narrators who voice work, and I'll listen to anything they voice. So I certainly understand as a listener, ardent and passionate about the books that I choose and the narrators that I follow. A narrator is a big deal, can bring new listeners to a series that they would not have otherwise given an opportunity.
Well, I'm not just an ardent fan of the Frost Gilbert audio team. I'm more in the wildly enthusiastic category. And I must admit, one of the reasons I so faithfully listened to each Night Huntress book a few years ago was my overwhelming desire to hear Bones talk again, as only you can deliver, Tavia. Okay, Tavia, I asked this over at Speaking of Audiobooks a number of years ago, and I may have even asked you this at Audio Gals, but I'd like for our listeners to hear it today. Your performance of Bones, it was a bit controversial in the beginning, but most audio fans I see around these days absolutely love your characterization of him. In fact, I just wait and listen for his next words. I just can't imagine it any differently now, but I think you will agree that it is different for a romance hero. Can you tell our listeners where you got your inspiration for Bones?
You know, I was thinking about this today, and there were definitely things that I was thinking about. I really love Tim Roth, and I think his sort of weirdo, awkward, oddly sexy charisma played into my performance of Bones in some way, although my voice for Bones does not sound like Tim Roth. There's just something about him that is like down and dirty, hard scrabble, British, you know, appealing man in an odd way. But it was my first paranormal. I hadn't listened to anything in the paranormal genre. I was coming at it with no preconceived ideas and no saturation of the paranormal culture. And I'm so glad that I made a very unique choice, because people either love it or they hate it. And people still hate it. I just read today, somebody said, I hate what she did with Bones. So not everybody has been swayed by my performance, but I think that it was the perfect fit for Janine's unusual series. I've done a number of paranormal series and books since, and Janine's is it stands out in this genre. There's nothing else like it. Her characters are, you know, they're sexy and they're adventurous and they're strong and they're tough, like paranormal characters are, but they're flawed and they're sensitive and they're thoughtful, and they are, I think, really well fleshed out in a way that stands out in the genre. So I think I was a young sort of green narrator making an odd choice that I don't know now I would make. And I sort of think I need to remember that I was just letting the text inform me. I wasn't thinking, this is the romantic hero, thus he must have a low, gravelly voice. You know, he's sort of a nasal, high-pitched, odd guy. And I really want to remind myself, let each book inform the performance. Don't think about what came before in the genre or what you've done before for a romantic hero or a romantic heroine, just let the text inform you and it will serve you well every time, because that certainly did. And I'm so glad that it stands out. For the people who don't appreciate it, I completely understand it and respect it. And not everybody will love it. And that's not my goal. When people say I hate it, it does not hurt my feelings at all. I chuckle. But I think, do you really hate it because it's not right? Or do you hate it because it doesn't fit in with everything else you're hearing? So if it doesn't fit in with everything else, think about it a little differently. Give it a chance and come at it with fresh ears. You might actually end up liking it, or you might still hate it. And that's okay too, because you can always read the books and you don't have to listen. But I really stand by it. I think I made the right choice despite myself almost. And I love that there are fans who love Bones.
You know, it's interesting because, well, first of all, I still have readers email me today and say they hate Bones too, Tavia. So don't feel left out. with every book, with every performance, with anything you do, there will be people who love it and there will be people who hate it. And you know, you do the best you can, and you hope that more people love it than not. And that's what gets me sitting at the computer every day. Otherwise, I'd just still be in a corner crying from reviews from my first book. Bones was unique, and it's funny because with characters, just like in a book, everyone puts their own personal touch on what you read, on what you listen to, on all of your experiences. So one person's Bones is not the same as another person's Bones. And I think that's the way it should be. I liked the way that Tavia did Bones as a little bit rougher and a little bit kind of that less smooth British and more of the street British, I guess you could almost say, because he did grow up he didn't grow up in the aristocrat part of society. He grew up in the slums. So. Mm-hmm. To me, it added an edge of authenticity that, you know, I had tried to put through in the prose, but maybe it left some holes that still needed filled in. And that's something that I was really happy about. And like Tavia said, to the readers who say, well, I hear him differently in my mind, I'm excited that the book had an impact enough to have readers hear specific voices in their head to say you matched it or you didn't match it. Because when you care enough about a character to want to, you know, in some ways argue with the narrator.
That's good.
I as an author sit back and smile.
Right. Exactly.
Well, Janine, as I researched your books for our talk today, I saw not only each series listed, but also an overall listing for the Night Huntress universe. That seems to be a listing of all books set in the alternative world we are introduced to in the first Night Huntress book, Halfway to the Grave. Can you tell our listeners how many series are contained in this Night Huntress universe and explain a little bit about each series?
Oh, gosh, that you didn't tell me there was going to be a pop quiz. I believe there are a total of 11 books in the Night Huntress universe now, 11 full novels. There are also novellas and short stories, but we're not going to go into that. they're listed on the reading order page, but I don't even remember how many of those there are. There's the Night Huntress series, which contained 7 full novels, and then there are the Night Huntress World books, and those are 2 standalone novels. They're not the start of a new series, but they fit between books 4 and 5 of the Night Huntress series, and they feature side characters that had started to grow so prominently in my mind while writing Cat and Bones' books that I knew they had to have their own stories told. So they are individual standalone novels, but at the same time, they really do fit into the entire Night Huntress timeline. And a common email I've gotten is, hey, how come I'm reading book 5 of the Night Huntress series, and all of a sudden Spade is married to Denise and Mancheris is married to some chick named Kira. What happened? What happened was First Drop of Crimson and Eternal Kiss of Darkness, those 2 Night Huntress World standalone spinoff novels. And then after that, because another side character grew in my mind so much, he didn't just demand his own book, he demanded his own series. And that's how Vlad got the Night Prince series, which started after One Grave at a Time. And those books out now are Once Burned and Twice Tempted. And I'm actually writing the third book, Bound by Flames.
And which I'll be narrating in November.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vlad's books, they can also be read separately because it is the start of a new series. So I've had a lot of readers say to me that they found my books through Vlad's, and then they went back and they read the Night Huntress books and then the Night Huntress World novels. And I've also had readers tell me, you know, that they read them in consecutive order. They had been reading me for years, and then when they heard Vlad was getting his own story, they were excited and they wanted to get up to date on the other stories and read him in the concurrent universe timeline. You know, it's preference. You can read them on their own, or you can, you know, go back and read the others. As an author, I don't care. I want whatever makes readers happier.
Exactly.
Well, although I miss Bones as a character in the Night Prince series, I have loved the first two entries in that. In fact, both of those have made my top 10 list over at Speaking of Audiobooks at the end of the year for the last 2 years. And yeah, I have really encouraged people to start here, especially any that have said, well, I didn't want to listen to Night Huntress for this reason or that. So we have encouraged people, start with Night Prince, you know, and then you'll go to the other places, because we too think it can stand alone. You said, Tavia, that you will be narrating this in November. So Janine, does that mean we will see this third in before the end of the year?
No, it comes out the end of January. I'm not sure if it's the 27th or the 28th of January. Whatever the final Tuesday in January is, that's when it releases.
Okay. So is that the end of the Night Huntress universe, or do you plan on returning to it at some time in the future?
Oh, it's, I don't expect it to be the end of the Night Huntress universe at all. I mean, unless something really strange happened in my mind.
Which could always happen.
Notice I leave myself an out. but no, I don't expect it to be the end. I get asked a lot, well, if it's not the end, which character is next? And I've said before that, you know, I write in a mildly schizophrenic manner. I let the voices in my head determine who gets a book next. Whoever's the loudest wins. Pause to say I don't hear actual voices, but you get the picture.
Yeah.
And I have one more Vlad and Layla book to write. I expect. I'm not all the way done writing it, so if they throw me a curve and demand a fourth novel, I'll give in. But right now I'm still expecting the Night Prince series to end at 3. And then I have two more Broken Destiny novels to write. And then I think about who will be next in the Night Huntress universe. So by that time, the character, you know, another character could really start telling me their story. Right now, Ian fans will be glad to know he's the one that's been the loudest lately. So he would, right now, I would lean more toward it being him, but I'm not promising, because Ian has such a fan base. If I promise and something happens and I don't deliver, I'm changing my name and moving.
Exactly. Well, we have had that question numerous times, if this was the end of Night Huntress universe or whatever. In fact, that was the first time I had encountered it, the universe. I just thought it was all these series together. So, all right. I actually included that to help others understand, because Brenda is really the one that brought me into the Night Huntress series. She's the one that said, Vicky, you will love it. Just give it a go. Because at the time, I really wasn't a paranormal fan. And so she has led me through it and said, no, you need to read that one before you continue on with Night Huntress, and been my guide. But really, I wanted to explain that, because a lot of our listeners think, where should I go next when I'm listening to this? But now you've already mentioned your next news, which is your new Broken Destiny series. The Beautiful Ashes was just released on the 26th. Janine, please tell our listeners about this new series.
Well, it's different. It's completely separate from my Night Huntress world. My Night Huntress world has vampires, ghouls, and ghosts as the primary creatures. And the Broken Destiny series has angels, demons, minions, and some other odd creatures thrown in once you get into the demon realms. So I've had a lot of fun creating an entire new paranormal world. I've said before that the most fun thing about being a paranormal writer is you get to make your own world and you make your own rules. And when can we say that in real life?
Janine, doesn't Adrian have a line in The Beautiful Ashes when he sort of disparagingly says something about vampires don't exist?
Yes, he does.
I love that. I love that. It was so funny for me to read out loud because I thought everybody who loves Janine will love that and will get it. So you certainly can make up your own rules.
That's right. The freedom, the power, you know, makes you just giddy sometimes. But Adrian is the hero of the Broken Destiny series, and Ivy is the heroine. And Ivy starts out as a relatively normal college student who's just had some, you know, odd hallucinations her whole life, but she takes medicine for it. And so she's, you know, she's doing the best she can to live normally. And when her sister gets kidnapped, she finds out through a series of events that everything she's ever seen is real. And she's actually glimpsing demons and getting glimpses into the demon realms. And Adrian is the only person that can help her rescue her sister. But he has a destiny that, as Ivy will find out, is in direct opposition to hers. And she doesn't even know she has a destiny. And that's a big shock to her as well. So I've called it a story of star-crossed lovers with opposing supernatural destinies who get caught up in a war between angels and demons. And that is also why I don't write back cover copy on books.
Oh, nice.
I think it's the best thing Janine's ever written. It's been, I mean, her writing is great and entertaining and wonderful and engaging, but there's something even more lyrical about The Beautiful Ashes. So I think, Janine, you're just practicing and practicing all the time, sitting down at the computer and writing, and there's... It's great. I loved it.
Oh, thank you. Your check is in the mail.
Oh, good.
So, Tavia, did you find any challenges? It sounds like you may have had one because you practiced with Janine, but any challenges in creating your portrayal of these characters? Any bones type inspiration this time around?
Well, Adrian was a particular challenge, and I did work hard with Janine to get his accent right. It's an accent that cannot be referenced in the human realm, so we had to get something that sounded slight and not overpowering, but worked for his character. And it was fun to work with her. We worked on it over a couple of days or maybe even a couple of weeks just because we were busy and we couldn't keep on top of it day to day. But we finally arrived at something that we both really liked and felt strongly about. Making sure that Ivy sounded, she's 19, right, Janine?
20.
20. So making sure that she sounded appropriately youthful was something I attended to and put attention on. And there were some characters. I mean, there are some wild characters in Janine's world. There's always the task of the narrator to make very distinct voices that fit appropriately into the world the writer is creating without making them unintelligible or sloppy or overpowering to the listener. So it was the usual challenge of my work, no matter what title I'm working on, with a little bit of extra challenge thrown in because we're dealing with demons and angels and minions and other sort of big half dog, half monster. Those fortunately didn't have voices. I shouldn't bring those up, but
don't speak too soon.
Okay. Foreshadowing of the next in the series. So yeah, just, you know, trying to think, what do these animals look like, or what do these creatures look like? What do they sound like? How would they talk? What's their attitude? What's coming out of their mouth? What's their attitude? That's a lot of my work.
Yeah, well, Talia, the poor woman, as if she doesn't have enough challenges, I made up a language and an accent. And I even said to her when I was so excited to hear that she was picked to do the books, because I had requested her, but, you know, request isn't a guarantee. So when they said she was assigned to the books, I was so happy. And then I think I emailed her an apology and said, you are going to hate me for this one. Because, yeah, I I've made up a language and now I want you to sound it out. Okay, go.
And it's awesome. I was very gentle with my publisher and said, I know Janine has respectfully requested that I get to do the series. Might you consider going in that direction? And they wrote back, we might consider going in that direction. Yes, wink. So that was good. And then hearing that there were some fun challenges was great news. It's never bad news when I have to work more thoughtfully on a series. That's always good news. I want my work to challenge me and stretch me always.
Well, Janine, I try not to be one of those fans who, when you have a new book come out, I'm immediately saying, when's the next one? But we will be asked, is there a preliminary schedule of when you feel like the second and the third in the Broken Destiny series would be released?
I'm not 100% sure, actually, and I'm not trying to be coy. I believe the plan is to release the books a year apart. So to have one a year in the trilogy until it's done. So that is the plan as far as my knowledge goes.
Sounds good to me.
Yes.
Do either of you all have any upcoming projects you would like to mention today? I mean, this is a time for you to mention any project, romance or not.
Go, Tavia.
I've just finished a run of great books that I have really enjoyed. There was The Actual and Truthful Adventures of Becky Thatcher, which is a reimagining of the Tom Sawyer, of the Tom Sawyer story by Mark Twain. And that was delightful. It's by a new novelist named Jessica Lawson. And then I worked on a biography of Coco Chanel, which was heavily populated with French. So we'll see how I did with over 700 French words and phrases. Then I met a woman in New York, Rebecca Alexander, who was the writer of a memoir about her experience living with the diminishing senses of sound and hearing. That's a pretty incredible story. And now I'm recording Eleanor Roosevelt's autobiography. So four amazing women, Becky, Coco, Rebecca, and Eleanor, all very, very different. And I will say Coco Chanel was not a likable person necessarily, but she was a sympathetic character. So she deserves her place in that celebration of these four amazing stories that I've gotten to record. And then I've got a bunch of stuff coming up. I'm always in my little closet recording away. If you ever want to know what I'm doing, you can pretty much think I'm in a 100-degree closet recording.
As for me, I think I already threw in my plugs. after The Beautiful Ashes is Bound by Flames, the third Vlad and Layla novel. And then after that will be the second book in the Broken Destiny series. And then after that will be, Night Huntress Universe character as yet to be named.
Okay.
So that will keep me, and then the final Broken Destiny novel, and that will keep me busy for the next 2 years.
And that will keep us excited. I mean, that's a good schedule for us. So,
oh, thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, Janine and Tavia. I mean, it has been a delight to have you with us. And I also want to give a special thanks to Blackstone Audio for providing the 10 audiobook copies of The Beautiful Ashes for our giveaway.
Yes, thank you to Blackstone. They are unparalleled and awesome.
They have been amazingly supportive. Again, they're the first audio publisher who gave my series a chance. Way back when, before the audiobook boom, I think, really caught on. And I've been so excited to continue working with them for the Broken Destiny series. So I couldn't be happier with them as my audio publisher.
Thank you both for being such passionate, tireless promoters of the audiobook craft and of Janine and me. It's really, I feel very, very honored to be partnering with you again and have really warm feelings and feel very at home with this blog and with your listeners and fans. So thank you so much.
Oh, yes. Thank you for having me, because I've Tavi and I have had many conversations, but I've been so excited about the growth of audio. I think it opens up reading to an entire new demographic, not just to people who, you know, I have a lot of readers who say, you know, I read paper, but then I also read when, you know, I'm running my errands in the car or whatever. But, and I've also had people who have said, you know, I've never liked to read, but now I do because of audiobooks. And my sister's actually one of those. She, for the first time, has been able to read my books because of audio, because she hates to read. And that's actually been problematic, because now I get calls at night like, why did Layla do this? Leave me alone. But I think it's opened up reading to a whole new group. And that is just could not think that was cooler. So I am so excited by audiobooks getting the attention that I think they really deserve. So thank you so much for promoting the books. And of course, a special narcissistic thank you for promoting mine.
Well, it is there. I'll tell you, we have talked about your books since I discovered them in 2010. So at both speaking of audiobooks and audio gals. So
and thanks for being a pusher, Brenda.
Well, I guess it's time to say goodbye. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.